Hello, mamas, and thank you for listening to Always With Me, episode 8. Today we've got Lindsay Gibson, and Lindsay is a writer, motivational speaker, and the creator of her online self-study program, Pure Joy Restoration, Taking Back Your Joy. She is also the founder of her consulting company, Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby, a holistic consulting company that teaches women to prepare for motherhood, mind, body, and spirit. As a spiritual and holistic joy restoration and health coach, she teaches women to heal inward through mind, body, and spirit. She gives them the tools they need to restore their joy and help them understand that happiness is always there, even after loss. She helps to bring light back into people. She spends most of her time taking care of her two young blondie daughters and all that motherhood entails. She's also a mother to her angel son above, whose love shines through her every day. Her greatest passion is writing to inspire through the heart and through spirit. She is working on her first book, an inspirational memoir, Just Be, How My Stillborn Son Taught Me to Surrender. You guys, boy, get your tissues ready. And for anyone who may be struggling with grief or PPD, this could be a trigger for you. But like in her bio, she's going to talk about how she grieved the loss of her stillborn son, who was born at 26 weeks, and how she chose joy and was able to be the mom that she best knows how to be for her two beautiful daughters. I'm so excited for you guys to hear her story. And here we go with Lindsay. Enjoy. Okay, ladies, thank you for listening. And we have Miss Lindsay. Lindsay, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So before we get into our questions, can you maybe do a little introduction maybe talk about yourself to the audience?
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Lindsay Gibson, and I guess to sum it up, I'm a writer, I'm a speaker, and I'm also the owner of my company called Healthy Mom, Happy Baby here in Connecticut. And that is a holistic and spiritual consulting company that helps mothers prepare, like mind, body, soul. And we do everything from childbirth education to one-on-one coaching, whether on the phone or in person, to workshops, classes, events, all kinds of things, all for moms. So that's kind of where I've started with my career and everything after I graduated college. And I'm also the mother to three children. One is in heaven and two beautiful daughters who are here. And I have an amazing husband from Ireland. Yes, he's got the brogue. Yeah. And I'm working on my first book. I blog for a lot of places online, but I'm working on my first book right now, which is a memoir. And I'm very excited to share it one day. So that's what I'm working on currently.
Well, congratulations, and I can't wait to read it.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yes, it is.
Well, so I guess what I wanted to start out was, because your two girls, yep, are, including your three, was the other one a girl,
so,
or a boy?
I can't, yeah, remember. My boy is who I lost. So I have two girls. Okay. They're 10 years apart.
Okay. Yeah, so it's going to... So there's a big age gap. If you can explain like what your journey to motherhood was and your pregnancy journey, I guess you can say.
Yeah, I'll explain the age gap. Now, it wasn't because we just simply wanted to be one and done. We got surprised. So yeah, they have a big age gap. I have a built-in mini mom with my 10-year-old daughter. It's wonderful. Let me backtrack. So my husband and I, we met in Boston when I was attending college there in 2005, and we fell pretty fast for each other. After 1 year together, we began to excitedly plan to move in with each other. This was a huge step for me because I'm going to backtrack some more. I am a trauma survivor from something that happened to me at 16. So finding a man that I could love and trust, that was a big step for me. So we were living the good life in Boston, two young people in our early 20s, fun city of Boston. Woohoo! It was awesome. And right when I was taking my first steps to move in with him, we found out we were going to have a third roommate, and that was our daughter, Lillian. She was on the way. So yeah, she was a surprise during my senior year of college. And we were blessed with her October of 2006. And she continues to be such a joy for us. She is an awesome kid. My pregnancy with her was smooth, and transitioning into motherhood was like so easy. I think it helped that she was an easy baby. And despite like the worried comments from everybody around me because of my age, I loved being her mom. I was like, what is everybody so worried about? Lily and I bonded together instantly. Everything was awesome, almost like we're soul sisters. And we still carry that energy in our relationship to this day. There has even been many times in my journey that she has held my hand through all the hard times. Like she's, I can't say it enough. She's an incredible girl. It's like she was supposed to be here and help me with all this. Yeah. Oh, so
that's sweet.
Yeah. So besides clicking with motherhood fast, it was hard. Don't get me wrong. Financially, we were young. We didn't have any money. There were so many ups and downs in our relationship, you know, together as brand new parents. In a way, it was like I was still getting to know my husband while being a mother at the first, you know, for the first time at 21 years old. So yeah, it was rough. And we always knew we wanted more babies, but we had a lot to finish first. Like my husband wanted to start to build his company that he has now. And I needed to finish school and figure myself out, perhaps get married. you know, that was somewhere on the list. So we put the plans on hold for a second baby. And finally, in the summer of 2013, we were so ready and we actively started to try and plan for our baby. And I was so excited to hold another newborn. And it never crossed my mind that it wouldn't be easy like my first experience with Lillian. I was kind of ignorant to the whole thing. So we conceived our son Joseph real fast. But unfortunately, on November 12th, 2013, I had to birth and say goodbye to him because he passed away at 26 weeks gestation. So, and then 8 months after that, we were staring at another pregnancy test, and it was Layla. And she was actually born on our son's due date 1 year later, March of 2015. So it's a very bittersweet day for us. So yeah. That's the age difference. And she is a complete opposite of Lillian. She is a spirited child, I guess you can call it, stubborn and a total Aries.
Yeah.
So it wasn't easy. So that's why they have that, you know, such a big age gap.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's such an interesting story though. Like, I mean, I understand the age gap now that you've explained it. Like, okay. Well, that makes sense, you know?
So
we talked about how you had that, gosh, you're gonna have to tell me cause I can't say it.
Okay. Oh yeah. So, my second pregnancy, you know, it didn't have a happy ending. So I'll explain a little bit more about that. And, I had something called hyperemesis gravidarum with both Joseph and Layla. So let me explain. So my husband and I, as I said before, we got married in 2013, and we had already been planning for it. We were so excited to have another baby. We just couldn't wait. So a week after the wedding, we found out we were pregnant with Layla or with Joseph. And we, you know, we just celebrated our marriage and a beautiful ceremony and the reception of our dreams. And I felt everything was great. And I think I bought every pregnancy book on the shelf, like every single one, even though I'm a professional already in, you know, in the baby world as a pre and postnatal health coach and doula. For some reason, when it comes to my own, like I go blank, my mind just goes blank on what to do. So I have to buy every book, you know, out there, but I was also just so excited. And I will never forget how my husband even scooped me up, twirled me around, shouting in his Irish brogue, we're pregnant. We were so excited. But the bliss faded 3 days later because I began to get ill with what I thought was just, you know, normal morning sickness. And, you know, I got nausea and sickness the first 13 weeks with Lillian, but it never got so bad where I couldn't like rehydrate in between. And I managed to go to work and school still with her. This was a whole new beast. And the term hyperemesis gravidarum was told to me by my doctor after I vomited up blood and I passed out on the bathroom floor one day and nearly had a concussion. And it was from literally like constantly vomiting. It was nonstop. So hyper what? Like, so I literally was like, what does that mean? So I went to Google and I looked it up And when you try to Google it, even spell check can't get it right. It's like totally foreign. And I was like 2% of the population actually get it. So, but I pushed it aside and thought, nope, this is going to end. This is just morning sickness. I don't know what he's talking about. It's not hyper whatever. So, but I was in complete shock. And as each day came, it got worse and it got stronger with like vengeance. And pretty soon I was hooked to a PICC line. In, you know, through your arm all the way up. I had for, you know, IV hydration. I had home nurses in my house every day. My eyes were constantly bloodshot. I ripped my esophagus. They started talking about what's called a TPN feeding tube because I didn't eat ever. And the doctors started warning me of real possibilities of organ failure and blood transfusions from extremely low iron levels. It was insane. I just couldn't believe what was happening. My blood pressure was also constantly low, like dangerously low. So I always felt like I was floating, like I just wasn't connected to this earth. It was horrible. So, and I was weak. I was in a constant state of fear. I was ungrounded, scared. I was shocked. It was, I can't describe it enough. It was just absolutely the scariest thing I think I've ever been through. But it all paused for one brief moment at my 20-week anatomy scan when my OB looked at me and said, "It's a boy." And for the first time, I smiled. I think my lips cracked as I smiled because I was so dehydrated.
Yeah. Oh.
And I fell so in love with my sweet boy, looking at the screen and seeing him wiggle about. And so I was determined to keep fighting the good fight. I was like, "I'm going to hold this baby in the end and it's all going to be okay." And one thing that I did think about was cancer patients. You know, they go through similar, you know, being sick and but they don't have that hope of, you know, holding something beautiful in the end. And so my heart really goes out to people who were sick with cancer after I went through hyperemesis, because we take the same medicine, Zofran, that they do. Uh-huh. And so I just was constantly reminded, like, okay, I'm going to hold this baby in the end and it's all going to be good. But that day never came, because 6 weeks later, at 26 weeks, Joseph, you know, he didn't survive the HG battle and he passed on to heaven. And everything seemed to cave in on me. My past trauma at 16 met grief of losing a child. It just, my whole life just seemed to cave in on myself. But what I didn't realize was awakening was happening at the same time. So that's the story of Joseph.
Yeah. So quick question. Was it due to the HG is why what happened to him, or something else?
That's a good question. I never got the full testing. The obstetricians and specialists came to me after he was, or right before I was, you have to give birth. You have to give birth after 20 weeks with a stillborn. Mm-hmm. And they asked me, "Do you want him to go have all this testing done?" And I thought about it, and, you know, they said 70% of the time they don't find anything wrong. And unless they see like a cord wrapped around the neck or something like obvious, 70% of the time they don't find it or any reason. And I thought, well, I'm going to sit here and wait for results. And what if they don't find anything and it was all for nothing? So my husband and I decided to do just the initial testing. And what that means is after they deliver him, they can right away test the placenta and the cord and his blood and all that stuff for like infections and things like that. So we let them do that and they didn't find anything. And we opted out to have the further testing. So we kind of like left it to God and sort of let it go. And the doctors do have suspicion that it could have been the HG because I had it so severe. With Layla, I had hyperemesis as well, but it was like a notch down, you know, it wasn't as severe. And he said a real good possibility. It was probably because what happens is your body starts to abort, you know, like this, your body looks at the baby causing this and starts to abort, like, okay, you're really hurting this body. So we're going to try to get you out. So preterm labor is very common with hyperemesis, babies, things like that. But they never really like officially concluded it. But I think I, as his mom, I think, yes, he couldn't with battle. It was horrific.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Well, I'm so sorry for that loss, and God bless you, you know, and your family.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, excuse me. I'm like, being a mom, and I'm sure all of our listeners are moms too, they just probably had chills down their spine.
I'm sorry, guys.
No, it's that's why I have you on, is to just inspire.
Yeah.
And so, I know I'm going to get into my next question,
yeah.
But I just, you have to apologize, but sometimes I have like a thinking wheel that's constant.
Yeah, me too. I do too. That's why it never makes sense.
Exactly. I told my husband, I was like, I want to write a book. And he goes, you don't ever make sense. I'm going to have to, you know, edit.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry, honey. There's editors for that.
Yeah.
When people edit my stuff or my editor gets it, it's like, what the heck did I just read? I'm like, I don't know, just edit it.
Yeah, just fix it. I hope this is okay for me to ask, but at 26 weeks, I imagine you had to bury your son. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
And so how was that for you? Like, how did you deal with that and with your husband as well?
Well, how do I answer that? My book is going to have a lot of detail with that part. You're going to see a lot of what went through my head. I've been a writer my whole life, ever since I could write. You should see the stack of journals that I have in my attic. I journal and journal and journal since 5 years old. So luckily for me, while writing my memoir, I have all my journals as like my backup. I'm like, oh yeah, like I can refer to it. So a lot of my details in my memoir are my deepest thoughts, my feelings, my emotions. So it's all in there. But his memorial service, I was in a state of shock. I was, you know, completely putting myself in denial. Denial has been my best friend since 16. So when something goes wrong, I go into denial. Not anymore. But at the time, I was still doing that. So to answer your question, I was so gone. I was so gone that I don't remember. I remember my arms, my husband's arms around me. I remember crying nonstop. I remember falling asleep on the way home from his memorial service and going into a flashback nightmare where my husband had to pull over the car. I remember I was literally, it was like I wasn't even in this. It was like I was dead. He basically took me with him to heaven. I felt that way. I felt like I was floating. And you know, to lose your child, to lose anybody's mm-hmm. heart. And, but when it's your child, it's almost like you die with them, you know, because they're mm-hmm. We're supposed to go before them, you know?
Yep.
And, I think like I said earlier, my trauma at 16 met grief of losing a child. It's like everything exploded all at once. So I don't really have a lot of words to describe, except that I really just felt like I wasn't even part of this earth during his memorial service. But with the grace of God, I pushed through it. And here I am speaking and inspiring others and other moms of loss, or anybody dealing with grief, to push forward, choose joy, you know, keep going. You don't move on, you move forward.
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's when we talk about grief. I mean, as you know, I lost my best friend.
Yep.
In a very tragic way. Oh, now I got chills again.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you. But it's been a rough year. And like you said, you have to choose joy. And that was me. Like I said, I can't, she doesn't want me like this.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want me seeing me cry. She doesn't want her family like this. So I said, okay, I'm going to take this disease, this postpartum depression,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to pull the positive in it and mm-hmm. lift people up.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's what we got to do.
Yes.
So, whew.
Yes. So postpartum, I experienced that too.
Yeah. So speaking of that, yeah, if you want to, because you got pregnant fairly quickly,
mm-hmm.
again, after your second, but like you said, it kind of led you into postpartum.
Yes.
So explain that.
I will explain that. So I know. And it took me a long time not to feel shame with it because, as I said, I'm a professional in the baby world, I guess. And when I was pregnant with Layla and I did give birth to her, she was born alive and healthy. I got a lot of gifts. Oh my gosh, your rainbow baby's here. You must be thrilled. I got so much. Everybody around me was excited. I wasn't. And it was so hard for me to admit that I have postpartum. So I got pregnant with her 8 months after I lost Joseph, as I, you know, said before. So she was a surprise pregnancy, as we were not actively trying or planning to try again so soon after the loss. Her pregnancy, it was another battle with hyperemesis, and I was still very much in shock from my pregnancy with Joseph and losing him, that this time the hyperemesis battle led me into complete despair. I was in complete despair with Layla. And unfortunately for her, she had to feel all those emotions from me while she was growing inside of me. And when I lost Joseph after fighting for 26 weeks to keep him alive and myself as strong as possible, like, losing him felt like I was a soldier fighting in the front lines of a war, and then I got shot. And, you know, you lose the battle. And in addition of, you know, to another HG fight during the time I was pregnant with Layla, it was exactly a year later. So all of the dates were lining up to be the same as it was with Joseph. Therefore, I was like constantly triggered because everything reminded me of Joseph. The entire pregnancy, I felt as though I was dead inside, and I struggled to see any light in the darkness I was in. I was in complete darkness. When we did find out she was a girl, but when she was born via C-section at the end of my pregnancy, and I heard her cry as the doctor pulled her out, for a moment, I became completely confused. And I asked my husband if Joe was okay. I said, wow. Is he okay? Not she, not Layla. And that confusion from was from PTSD I was already suffering with.
Wow.
And it was the beginning of my postpartum depression and the fog that would circle me for 8 weeks. The morning of her birth, I was wheeled into recovery and I handed her to my husband. I turned over and I was crying so hard and tears were just falling down my face. I felt defeated. I wasn't happy. I felt defeated. Ooh, I get chills even just thinking about it. And I was very confused. I was like, still searching for my son. Where is my son? So the first 8 weeks after we got home, I was constantly confused and lost. I walked around the house in a daze. And when she would cry, it was like she was a million miles away. Like, I couldn't really hear her. My heart was constantly pounding with anxiety, and I seemed to never stop crying. Failure was on my mind all the time. And because I felt this way, anger like bubbled in me. And I didn't quite identify it as postpartum depression until about 8 weeks in, when Layla and I had a moment together that brought me back from what seemed like, you know, floating in the air back to ground. It was the first day I was alone with her in the house, and she was crying in her nursery. She just woke up from a nap, and I was outside of her door. I was sitting on the floor with my hands in my face, and I was crying with her. I was terrified to go in there. But in that moment, something in me, God, spirit, higher presence, whatever you want to call it, something in me pushed me to stand up, go in there, and I picked up my baby to nurse her. And I fought so hard to hold my tears back because I was trying to protect her from seeing me like that. But in that moment, she did something. She opened her eyes. She was nursing. And she opened her eyes and she looked at me for a minute. And for the first time in 8 weeks, we actually looked at each other. She took her little hand. She reached for my face and put her little fist. You know how newborns or babies will do that.
Yes.
And she put it on my cheek and she held it there. And this gesture unleashed everything. I surrendered. I let the tears come. I started crying with her. She stayed peacefully on my breast the entire time. And what she showed me in that one moment, despite the PPD, she and I do have a connection that is always there. Mm-hmm. And I realized that when I was suffering, what I was suffering with was in fact postpartum and even still PTSD. It became my like awareness moment. It didn't heal my symptoms, but it was a powerful moment that lifted me out of that fog that I was in for 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. My tiny little newborn proved to be the stronger and wiser one to show me that peace and connection begins in the womb. And even though I felt so horrible inside, that it's that love between her and I was always there. So it gave me comfort and it gave me strength. And in many ways, I feel like our children heal us, whether they're tiny infants or later in life, because what I learned that day is how intrinsically connected we are to them. It's amazing the connection that mother and child has. Mm-hmm. And she showed me in one little gesture. It was, and it really was the first day that I let my postpartum become my teacher. and let myself be conscious to it. That was like my first step to it. My healing finally began after that. And she's now 21 months old and the healing continues. Loving who I am has become my focus since that day with Layla. And it has been the hardest challenge yet. And I realize, like we were discussing before, it starts with a choice, you know, choose joy. So, and it kind of has led me to change my career and what I'm doing, not change my career, but, you know, I still work with moms, but helping them to choose joy. Any moms who are struggling with grief and pain to choose happiness, again, because happiness is always there underneath it. And, you know, my symptoms, they still appear and I surrender to whatever comes up, you know, because I never know what feelings or emotions or thoughts are going to come up. And besides, you know, good nutrition, exercise, I surround myself with friends I love, my amazing husband and family. Finding my way out of PPD, grief, and my past was something I realized I had to choose, you know, take back my joy. And sometimes that choice has made, you know, sometimes it has to be made daily because things do still trigger me and, you know, setbacks happen because life, you know, continues on no matter what. It's not like you choose joy once and all's good.
Yeah. Because, oh, no,
we have to keep doing it because we're human and all the, and all those emotions are part of us and we're going to continuously be tested. So, you know, it's something that you have to continuously do. And you can't deny your emotions. I know I tried it for 13 years after that night, fateful night when I was 16. Denial eventually makes its way to the surface. It just, you know, it doesn't work anymore after a while. So that's my postpartum struggle in a nutshell, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's an amazing story. And I talking to all these moms, and I'm also, we're in the same group, the postpartum depression support group.
Yes.
And I see a lot of moms. I actually reached out to one who I talk regularly, and she's struggling now.
Yeah.
And I think something I realized, because I remember a lot of people were like, just change your way of thinking. And I said, I can't. I need these medications.
Yep. I know. Yep.
And like you said, though, you have to, it's not just the meds.
No. Yep.
But you have to change your way of thinking.
Yes.
You have to choose joy. And I'm learning that now. And I thought, just the meds ain't gonna, it's not going to change your environment.
Mm-mm.
And it's not going to, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if change the way you think is the right description.
Well, your brain is a muscle. You got to work it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You got to practice. And if you have excuse my language, really bad day. I won't say the S word. it's okay. That is okay. Start over when you're ready, you know, because you always have the choice to do it. So, but yeah, you got to practice it.
Mm-hmm. And it's totally, for me, it was, okay, what is the biggest thing that's causing me anxiety?
Mm-hmm.
And it was working an hour away from home. Even though I was working with my husband, both of us were gone the whole day and both of us could not manage the home, manage our children, cook meals, clean the house. It was just, the house was just on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So that was causing me anxiety. I was just rushing to get meals done, to get the kids ready in the morning. And I said, this is causing me to have suicidal tendencies is because I feel like I'm drowning.
Yes.
That's what I felt like. And I said, that's it. I quit. I'm going to let go of that by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not making any money now, but I hope so in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my husband is changing his careers, but right now we're only living on one income and hanging by the wire.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just, and I constantly tell him, are we okay? Are we okay? He says, he just calmly says, we just have to trust God.
Yes, he's right. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's and it's so hard to do. It's so hard. Yes.
Oh, so hard.
Yeah.
But how many times has he proven you, you know, like, I told you. Not I told you, but you know what I mean? Like, how many times has God said, just trust me, you know?
it's like, you know, God speaks to all of us differently. So, mm-hmm. Some people don't hear him until much later in life, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's got different beliefs and walks of life and faith and all that stuff, and that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But God does speak to us differently. And for me, I noticed that when I would fight it or I try to control my outer world, you know, I need to get a new job or I need to switch careers or I need to do this and I need to add this. And I start panicking, like you were saying, financially with everything, is when everything fails. not fails, but everything doesn't work. And that's when God's like, see, okay, you need to trust me and go with what I'm telling you to do. Listen to your intuition. All of us have it. Some of us can hear things. Some of us can see things. Some of us have vivid dreams. Some of us just feel certain things, you know. We all have intuition. We're all spiritual beings. And that's just my, that's my point of view.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to listen to yourself and your change and your trust and your faith. It all starts inward, not outward. Mm-hmm. So we as humans want to change our outer world and make everything perfect, and ignore the signs and what's been, you know, told to us and all the advice we're given. We want to ignore that a lot because it's easier just to control our outer world and try to fix it. And then it crashes. And then it's like, why, yep. why does the same issues keep popping up over and over and over? And that's when I believe God's like, all right, see, you know, like that wasn't working for you. It's like, oh, so,
I've walked into bad opportunities many times and it's like, okay, he just slammed that door in my face.
And a lot of people think, well, what does it mean to have God talk to you? I don't hear him. You don't have to. You don't have to. Yes. It could be somebody calling you that day to tell you that, you know, a friend calling you on the phone to say, you know what, you know, I really enjoyed that day or that dinner we had the other night. You're an awesome person. And, you know, just lifting you up. Sometimes mm-hmm. God works through little miracles like that to make you feel good, or mm-hmm. a new job just appears and you didn't even apply for it, or, you know, things like that. Like it just, you have to watch for him speaking to you. It's not like, hey, he opens the sky.
Yeah. And literally talks to you like, Lindsay, this is what I have for you.
Yes, exactly. Like pay attention to the good things in life. Like I'm saying, good friends, your family who is there for you. It's hard to focus on what we do have and what we're grateful for versus like all the hard things we go through. It's really, really hard to do that. I get it. It took me mm-hmm. a long time to understand that.
Well, God bless you. Like, man, I tell this to a lot of moms because I feel like some of these moms are so much stronger than me. And I just say, you are my hero.
Oh, well, thanks. I could give a little, let me just give some closing remarks about some advice for moms who are, you know, struggling with either postpartum or child loss, or even mm-hmm. infertility and can't get pregnant. Mm-hmm. Let me just say that, like I said before, losing a child is like losing a part of your soul, because we are always connected to them, even if they pass on before us. It is like they are part of our heart, so they take it to heaven with them when they mm-hmm. die. So words alone are not going to take away the pain that you feel inside, although mm-hmm. they are meant well and to encourage us to move forward. Moving forward is the key word. Remember that, not moving on. So what I want to say to all the moms struggling with loss who are listening, your love never dies for your child. So you will never stop grieving. And guess what? That is okay. But you can learn the power of choice to choose happiness again. And that choice is made to enable you to move forward with your life. But the power mm-hmm. of that choice resides within you. The demands of motherhood are enough to test any new mom and mm-hmm. make her feel like she is running in a race that will never end. Postpartum depression is like someone just put 50-pound weights on your ankles as you run that race. And that race really does never end, because motherhood is for life. And therefore, there will always be hard moments, even after they grow up. So what I want to say to you mamas who are struggling with postpartum is pull the pressure off yourself. And don't try and create a continuous joy that you may feel pressured to have. Because PPD taught me that within the lonely storm that I was in, capturing the simple moments and pausing to create what I call a pocket of joy is what I've learned that will get you through those hard days. And those small moments of bliss is what I will remember for many years to come, not trying to make the whole day perfect. Yeah. It is in those small moments of joy that you will also see hope again for the future. So an example of like a small moment of joy was last Christmas when I was in the throes of postpartum with Layla, and I was trying to make Christmas perfect. I was trying to be perfect because a lot of us moms are guilty doing that.
Yes.
And I was so lost, and I went to the store to buy Christmas gifts for my nephews, and I saw matching pajamas. I stopped mm-hmm. and I was like, oh my God, they have it in both their sizes. I thought it was like the cutest thing ever. And for the first time that Christmas season, amongst my postpartum, I smiled and I envisioned them in those jammies. And I realized, oh my God, this is the first Christmas my girls have together. And I was so blind to the love that they were developing, the bond that they were developing. And I felt joy for 1 minute. I felt happiness. And I was so excited to buy those pajamas and put it in there and have them in my cart and have them, you know, match on Christmas morning. And I smiled like the rest of the way through the store. And it was a small moment, but it was so powerful. And I'll always remember that. I don't remember the rest of the season because I was in a fog still with postpartum, but I remember that. And that is a story that I can share with them for years to come. And I realized that's all it takes is one moment of hope to kind of push us forward. So what I will end with is sharing with all of you is that just how hard, I know how hard it is to choose joy. It is so hard, like we were just saying. And to be conscious of any pocket of joy when you feel so sad inside is also hard. It can be so much easier to stay stagnant and in those painful feelings that overwhelm you so much that you can hardly breathe. But despite how hard it is still easier to let yourself stay there. It is okay if some days you feel stuck and in pain because every day, every single day, you have a choice to try again, to choose joy again. So remember, one thing that is always there, even during those intense moments and underneath, is love. Love is the reason you are grieving, and love is the reason you feel so defeated with postpartum, because as mothers, we just want to make life magical for our babies. But love is what's going to bring you back.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing. My gosh, I need your book.
And I'm going to bow. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not, I'm walking this journey with you.
She just totally dropped the mic, lady.
Yeah, drop mic. Done. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, so last two questions.
Okay.
After that, gosh, I'm like, how do I beat that?
No, it's okay. Sorry. Hey, listen, I've been writing my book for a long time, so I've had a lot of time to write these things down.
Yeah. Well, I definitely want to get that book. So, but so what is your, I like to ask this question to every one of my moms.
Okay.
But what is your current joy and current struggle?
Okay. So currently,
or struggle and joy.
Yep. You know. So currently I am struggling with balance and facing continuous layers of my past as I write my memoir. It's like an onion just keeps coming up, new layers. It is not easy to write about my truth while juggling being a mom, a wife, a writer, and a mompreneur. There are days that I am triggered by my own memories and words that I struggle to find a smile for my girls. But I keep going because there's that saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Yep.
So I know that processing everything I feel and facing those layers will bring my soul peace and therefore my girls' comfort and happiness. Remember, ladies, that mama bear in you doesn't give up. You are so strong. And so a current joy of mine is watching my 21-month-old talk. Oh my God, it's so exciting. Her words are like spilling out right now, and we are all having such a joyful time listening to her little voice. In many ways,
love it.
Oh, I know, it's so cute. And in many ways, it is strengthening my bond with her because hearing her communicate her needs is like, it makes me feel connected to her. It's great. You know, despite our rocky start that we've had with each other, these like little milestones like ground me and reminds me that what she and I really have. It's awesome. And then also another joy is my 10 and a half year old has settled into puberty. I know that sounds crazy.
No way.
Oh my God, stop. It's awful. No. it shakes.
What?
I know it shakes up parents for so many reasons to hear that word, but I am giving space to it because I do see the joy that it brings, such as new, mature, heart-to-heart conversations. It's like so cool to sit down with her and have these conversations. She's like a little adult all of a sudden.
That's crazy.
I know. So those are my two like joyful things that's going on in the Gibson house right now.
Well, that's wonderful. Like I to see you here, I can hear your smile, and that's what I want to hear with all moms is for their smile. So, well, it was fantastic having you on, and you are going to help inspire so many moms, not just on this show, but just in your business alone. If you can share where our listeners can find you, and I'll make sure to put that in our show notes.
Okay. You can find me. My website is Lindsay Marie Gibson. like Gibson Guitar, and Lindsay is spelled with an A, not an E, .com. There you're going to find more information about my 7-week online course, Pure Joy Restoration, Taking Back Your Joy. This is a self-study program for those who are ready to choose joy again into their lives and the tools they need to do it. It's a lot of it is audio as well, with me sharing my deepest, most vulnerable moments in my life. So it's very intimate. There is also more about my memoir that I'm working on and my blog. You can also find me across social media, Facebook and Instagram at author Lindsay Gibson and Twitter at Lindsay Marie Joy. Thank you so much, Diana, for having me.
Oh, of course. Didn't I tell you all that story was amazing? I'm telling you, as I sit here editing this episode, and I'm just in chills. What I got out of it was how Lindsay decided to choose joy. And you have to choose joy every single day. You just can't choose it today and think that you're going to be forever, you know, healed. Because that's not the case. In her case, grieving, it's going to take her the rest of her life, maybe. And she's going to miss her son for the rest of her life. But she chooses to be joyful for the rest of her life. And that makes a difference. And I also loved how this was her awakening. And I feel like with the loss of Sabrina, this was my awakening. I never in a million years have thought that I would be doing this show. And I am a completely different person than I was 1 year ago before losing her. I can never imagine that the person I am today. If you told me this a year ago, I would have been like, who? But I hope you guys were inspired by this episode, because I know I was. And wow, I'm just, like I said, I'm in chills. Like, the story was so amazing, and I'm so excited. I'm so happy to have her on to share that, for her to open her heart and tell us that story in order to help other moms out there, help anyone out there who's going through a loss. And it's amazing. So, on a side note as well, as I always like to mention, if you guys can leave a review and a rating for the show, that would be amazing. I have my Stitcher and iTunes links in our website, alwayswithme.org. And that will help us be more visible to moms out there who need us. And not just moms, maybe teenagers or dads or anybody who may be going through a loss. They need to hear Lindsay's words. So please, please, please make sure to leave a review and tell us what you think about this episode today. That would be great. I would love to, not just to have a review, but I'd love to hear from you. I love all my listeners and I love all my guests. They seriously make me happy. So, also, I am looking into getting some product for alwayswithme.org. So maybe some mugs, some bags. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but if you want to let me know, send me an email and give me some ideas. But I'll let you guys go and enjoy your day. If you're listening to this today, tomorrow, a month from now, a year from now, God bless you. And know that I am always with you and you're always with me. And we're always in this together to go through life and go through the bumps together, because you should never be alone in your struggles. God bless you, and mwah, mwah, mwah. Kisses to your baby. Bye-bye.